In this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast, guys, it is a really, really special one. Rabbi Kurt and Miss Christy had a really awesome opportunity, an exclusive type of interview with a IDF commander's wife. Now, for privacy and obviously for protection, we have blurred pretty much everything in this video that you're going to be watching, you're listening to. So it's going to be a little bit different type of experience, but we really encourage you to listen to the stories. It's going to be super insightful of what it is kind of inside of Israel, inside of a family aspect within the IDF. So super excited for you to jump into this podcast. All right, let's jump straight into it with Rabbi Miss Christy. You're going to love this one.
Well, shalom. Welcome to the Kurt Landry Podcast. This is going to be one of the most unique podcasts, and we just want to invite you in to build relationship. This is the key. We're going to be interviewing a young mother who her husband is in high level inside the army and has been, you know, fully engaged since October the 7th and before. And when you have three children and you're fully engaged in an actual war, what is it like being a mom with three kids and your husband's not going to work, so to say, at the office or going to work, you know, in a construction site or a dentist or a CPA, but actually is going in at a high level as a commander in the IDF Army and all the things that have happened. I mean, everything I can tell you for us, everything has changed since October the 7th. And now we're in a war within a war with what's happened inside Iran. And so we have a special guest here, and we'll just, her name is Michal. And she's around the same age as our daughter, husband, the same age as our son-in-law. We got to meet them in Israel on our last trip. It was one of the highlights of our trip to be able to meet with them. And the reason I want to share with you, she has some questions for us. I don't know what those questions are, but she has questions for us as evangelicals and Christians in America. Why do you stand with Israel? And what are your thoughts? And we have questions for her, like, what is it like being a mom in the middle of a war? You know, we don't have that situation here. We do in a way when our men ship off, but what is it like when it's really just a few miles away from your home? And so anyway, Michal, we want to welcome you to the Kurt Landry Podcast. Thank you so much for taking time to share with us. And I just want to, just so we can just open this up, how did you meet your husband and how long have you been married?
I met him through friends. One of my friends called me and he told me, okay, I have someone that you should meet. So I said, okay. So he said, but there are three issues. I said, okay, what's the three issues? So he said, he's younger than you. That I said, okay, that's a good thing. And then he said, he's very, very tall. And I said, okay, I like tall men. So that's not a problem. And then he told me that he's in the army. So I said, okay, like I was very young. I said, okay, I like men in uniform. I didn't realize what the meaning of being married to an officer. So I said, okay, I'll meet him. So we start dating and we really understand soon that it's meant to be. And we're married now for almost 16 years.
Wow. And you have three children?
We have three kids, yeah.
Wonderful. And what are the ranges of the ages of the children?
They're between 8 and 14.
Wow. So these are young. This is a young family. And let me ask you the question. What is the main challenge of keeping the resilience of the family and the hope up when dad's gone so much of the time? Do they know exactly what he's doing? Do they know he's, you know, in the war? How do you deal with that?
Since they were young, it was really important to me to connect them to what he's doing, because I think if they know what he's doing and feeling a part of it, it's much easier to see what they're gaining from it, not just what it's taking from them, because he's not at home, not a lot. And like, if they know what part of that they're part of something big, it's much easier for them that is not at home, because they're knowing that they're doing something important, and that is really important for them that to be a part of it. I were like, from really, really young age, I took them a few times, like every Shabbat that it was closing, I took them to the base to see the soldiers, to see what he's doing, to see how they like recognize him, how important what he's doing. And I think it really, really, really helped them for their well-being also now, because they know he's doing something important for them, for their future, for the people all around Israel. So I think that's what they give them the strength and keep on doing. Of course, it's also scary. Like, you can't block everything. Like, my big boy knows already, like, he's online. You know what it means being in a war. But he's really, really proud on what his dad doing. And I think it's really important to him. Like, he's like in class, he's giving his dad stickers of his brigade and stuff like that. He's really, really proud of it. So I think that's really important to him and give them like strength to go on.
That is really smart and very, very, very wonderful. I'm so blessed to hear how you do that. You know, Christy and I have been very fortunate and blessed to be on the bases, and the bases near the, you know, near the areas of the war, very deep inside these bases. And I can tell you, for us personally, I mean, we're not children, but it really helped she and I to interconnect to that these are very young people, very young. And, you know, we did a big barbecue one time, and with all these reservists. And so I'm sitting across from a dentist, I'm sitting across from an accountant, and here they are with their uniforms on, and they immediately left everything and volunteered. But one of the things, you know, your husband is an officer, he's a commander, and of course we've got to meet him. I mean, he's a very humble, but yet has a lot of authority. He interacts as a father, not just with his children, but also his soldiers. But yet he is a strong, strong leader. And so, I mean, I'm very proud of that and very proud of you, you know, with that strength and resilience. I think conveying the message, you know, if I could convey the message to the evangelical community, is one of the things that I say when I'm speaking to soldiers. And I've literally over the years speaking to probably over 1,000 soldiers, and they're all in bases where we have gone, and we'll have a meal, and they ask me to speak. And this is one of the things I share, and I want this for the broadcast. I always share it with them. I say, you are like no other military or no other soldiers on the earth, because you have been chosen by God as the chosen people to defend Bible prophecy. Because in the Bible, it's very clear about the borders and the covenant and the land, who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob chose to give the distribution of this land. The distribution of the borders to the 12 tribes and Bible prophecy itself that comes out of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, all these Bible prophecy, Amos, all of this, these fulfillment of Bible prophecy and what we see in Ezekiel, like what we see in Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, all those things are setting up now. We are literally not just making history right now, but we're unfolding Bible prophecy. And so I always encourage the soldiers that you are not just defending the nation of Israel, which is very honorable with a moral cause of defending the nation. That is fantastic. But it's even higher than that, because these are the watchmen. You are the watchmen on the wall defending the truth of the God Yahweh, the God of the universe, because that's the scripture says. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. And his word shall not come back void, but it shall prosper in that which it is sent to do. And that is all great in the spirit. For the evangelicals listening to me, which is our audience, that's great in the spiritual and the supernatural. But I'm talking about in the practical. In the practical, these boundaries, these people in this place, time, is very important to God. And if God, when God maintains this, there has to be individuals that literally are on the ground fighting and defending the truth of what God said about these lands. And so I always share that with the soldiers. And it's amazing, Michal, because when I do, every time, probably half of them have tears running down their face because, you know, you have organizations that are speaking out anti-Zionism and all this negative type stuff. And that's what our ministry is all about, is being a voice to be able to share the truth. So, you know, you have a degree and I want you to ask us some questions. What questions do you have as an Israeli, as a mother of a commander? If you wanted to ask the evangelicals like questions, what kind of questions would you have for us?
Actually, like, first of all, I want to, like, really interesting me, like, what brought you to the connection to the Israeli soldiers, exactly, to the IDF? Like, what made you do the way you're behaving and what you're doing in that way?
So you're talking about, like, Kurt and Christy and Kurt Landry.
First of all, on you guys, like, I understand, like, the connection to Israel, but taking, like, the path of connection to the IDF, like, it's a different path. That's what I see. So, and this is the path I'm going. So I'm really interested to hear what took you to that path.
Okay. We're going to answer that, but I want you to, if you don't understand totally, ask questions and we'll unpack it. Okay. First of all, what we do is absolutely a calling, a divine calling from God. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the scripture says about Jeremiah, he says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I sanctified you and like Kadosh to be a prophet to the nation. And we have that call. We have a call. And the uniqueness of the call is that, and you know this better than most, the way we interact with the IDF is very different than any other ministry. And the reason is because we've been doing this now for 35 years. So we've been helping Israel. We didn't start with the IDF. We actually started out in 1990 with the Aliyah. Mm-hmm. We started out with part of a small group getting 747s out of Boeing Field in Seattle and getting those airplanes paid for and leased to go to the Soviet Union at that time and to bring Jewish people, according to Isaiah 60, it's Aliyah, to bring the Jewish people from the north back to Israel. So that's where we started. We started with a small group of people raising money to get airplanes to go to Israel. Then the next thing that we did, the second thing is, it's also in Isaiah 60. It says, and they shall return on ships of Tarshish first. So we actually raised money to... we are actually the first ship that we were leasing. It was supposed to come out of Cyprus. The gentleman that we sent there to actually with the money to lease the ship had sailed because we were late. And the ship broker said, well, we don't have any other ships. And they were there with suitcase full of cash to rent an entire ship. And according to the scripture, and then what happened was the man said, well, we do have another ship you can lease, but it's not here. It's in the area of Tarshish. And the prophet Isaiah said, and they shall return on the ships of Tarshish first. And that's exactly what happened. That was not planned.
It was a sign.
They had hundreds of thousands of dollars in a suitcase. That was back in the day. That's how we did things. Everything was very different than now. Now we have a namuta, we wire money, none of that. It was all cash. Everything was, it was very primitive and very covert. We didn't tell people what we were doing. Everything was very covert. So anyway, so they started returning on ships of Tarshish. And then after that, we got involved in bringing humanitarian aid. The Aliyah kind of got shifted over to some other people, and we started doing humanitarian aid. We started working with Holocaust survivors. We started working with children that were coming out of a program called Yeladim. We were introduced to that through the Netanyahus. That was Sarah Netanyahu is one of the, that's one of her favorite outreaches. And so we got involved working with that. And then, the next thing you know, people started telling us about lone soldiers. And we said, okay. So the kind of the help we were doing with the Holocaust and then the young children, we said, okay, we'll start meeting the needs of the lone soldiers. And, you know, we'll start kind of providing for them meals and essentials, you know, personal care items and things like that. And that, then it kind of developed into that. And then it became more involved. And then after October the 7th, when we got the call on October the 7th, which Christy and I came over to the nation, over to Israel pretty quick, all of a sudden they said, listen, there's all these reservists and they don't have boots. They don't have underwear. They don't have uniforms. They don't have bulletproof vests. They don't have bulletproof helmets. They, you know, it's like the main army has all these things, but these guys just, and girls just left everything. They said, can you help us? And that's when, you know, we just went to our Kurt Landry ministry partners and we said, okay, there's a real need. We have the connection to the wholesalers because of what we're doing, because we're already taking care of Holocaust survivors and children and lone soldiers. So we already have these accounts to where we know where to get these things. And so then the next stage of it really went, it was amazing. In 30 days, we actually delivered $970,000 of aid, from bulletproof vests to helmets, to flashlights, phone chargers, underwear, socks, sheets, mattresses, everything for the reservist. And it just kind of happened. I mean, it was like, it wasn't a plan. It was like there was a need and we went to the Kurt Landry ministry partners and they responded. They responded in 45 days with over $1 million. Wow. But the difference is, and you'll appreciate this, we didn't just raise the money. We actually delivered, like, within 30 days, all the goods supply that they needed. Yeah, and that's how the ministry has done that. So I would say that for me and for Christy, that's kind of the supernatural. I mean, yes, our ministry did. We have great staff. We have great staff in Israel and that delivers. And we've all worked together for like 15 years. So this isn't like we're not new. But the point is that our ministry partners are really the heroes, because they sacrificially gave immediately. And so once we started pulling the trigger, because we didn't have that money, we just started going and purchasing. All the bulletproof vests were gone in Israel. We bought, I don't remember how many. So then we bought vests, and then we bought the plates, and we put ladies to work in Israel that know how to do sewing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they actually were creating bulletproof vests and sewing and putting the Titanic plates in there. So we were just doing whatever it took. Our job is to we value life and we want to be able to help to save lives. So that's kind of,
kind of reaction do you receive, like, from Jewish people around the world in Israel? Like
how do they react to us?
Yeah. To this.
For us, listen, we have some pushback, but it's not coming from Israelis. There's forces that don't like what we do, but those forces are the ones we're battling on the field. So, yes, we have pressure that comes back from the anti-Israel people, but the Jewish people and, let's say, the government of Israel and everyone really from the top down, they're very appreciative of what we do. Now, you have to realize Christy and I have been the trip that when we saw you, it was our 46th trip.
Wow.
We've been coming for 35 years. And so they trust us. What I'm saying is that there's a deep relationship. And, you know, the scripture says that your gift makes a way for you. And I think that's what's happened. They trust us. And you know, and I, like I told them, even during the war, since October the 7th, we're not responding because of October the 7th. We were here before.
We're there before, yeah.
And we'll be here after. And
something changed after October 7th, like in your community?
I think the community became more intense. And, you know, we shared, you know, Christy and I were there right after, you know, the kibbutz, you know, all this in the South, we went everywhere. The Gaza base that was heavily attacked, we have been supporting it for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And so we had 9 commanders on that base that we know that we lost. And for us, these are like our sons. These, yeah. I mean, we have relationship. This isn't, you know, like I say, in the back of the base, there's these olive trees, and the olive trees are 15 years old. We planted those. We plant olive trees. And so there's this big, you know, grove of olive trees, and they're there. Some of them were damaged by some of the rockets in October the 7th. But, you know, I think that the Israeli people, the way the people interact with us and the way our community, when you love God and you love life, then you're going to love Israel and you love what Kurt Landry Ministries is doing. I want Christy to address, like, people ask, I've never had it asked like this from an Israeli, but we didn't plan this. It's kind of like God's sovereignty led us step by step by step. And you know, the thing that's interesting about this is that obviously, you know, our daughter and son-in-law who are your age, they're told this is what their whole life is to do this. We have grandchildren around the same age as your children, and our grandchildren are going to do this. They already know this is kind of like a family, and the families that follow us are following. Well, we have a big following, but they feel compelled in their souls that, you know, the scripture we preach out of the New Testament is called one new man. When Jew and Gentile, when Goyim and Jews and Gentiles come together as one, that there's more strength. And they understand that. And they also understand that their salvation for Christians, our salvations come through Jesus, Yeshua, and Yeshua's Jewish. This is a rabbi. So Christians who are believers are following a Jewish rabbi named Yeshua from Nazareth. And so they understand that without the Jewish roots, that everything they believe in comes from the Jewish people. And this, Paul says in Romans that we're grafted in. And so they feel apart. And the reason Kurt Landry Ministries is it's a kesher, it's a bridge. The kesher is this, is that it's great that we pray, and we do. The scripture commands us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But here's the thing, is sometimes you have to do more than pray. Sometimes, you know, you have to have baby formula. Sometimes you need to purchase diapers. Sometimes you need to purchase medical supplies, those special, real expensive bandages that coagulate blood. Sometimes you need to get, drones so that you can go and fly the drones down into those tunnels that are under the ground with cameras, all the things. Anything I've asked our community to support, I can tell you it's like a huge yes. And then in addition to that, they respond financially to meet the needs because they love you guys. And they feel like mishpacha. They don't feel separated. I'm talking about the real believers. I'm not talking about all the Christians, you know, world. I'm talking about our community. There's other ministries that have the same thing. We're not the only ones, but they truly love and they stand and pray for you and they believe, yes, because they also know,
yeah, Usually we see the other side. So it's amazing to see those sides also. Usually we don't get the hug. So it's amazing to get this huge hug from you guys, really.
You don't get hugs. It's just hard. It's hard because when you know, my thought is that if you truly know God, then you're going to hunger for what he wants us to know and to do and to become. And his whole love is for everyone, but he has a special love for the chosen people. And so if you're a believer and you read the word and your eyes are open, now there's different believers, but if you really know the word and really know the Lord, you're going to love Israel and you're going to love the people, no matter whether they're in Israel or whether they're in New York City or whether they're in Florida, it doesn't matter where. You're just going to carry the love of God for the people. And that's why we do what we do. You know, we were talking about being called, our family being called. Share Megan's testimony when she was little.
Yeah, this will be to kind of show you the experience of being called. You know, our daughter, Megan, she's 41 and she's the CEO of Curt Landry Ministries. And so she's has a tremendous amount of responsibility for babies. But Listen to this testimony that this will really kind of touch you and who you share this with. Of how a calling kind of gets birthed.
So she, you know, all of her life, she's known, well, just almost all of her life that, you know, we had a love for Israel. And she's 5 years old. She's upstairs in the guest room. And she's, I can hear it was my grandmother's bed and my mom's bed, and then it became our bed because we kept it in the family. And she was up there jumping, and you could hear the mattress doing the thing. And so I go upstairs, and she's not supposed to be jumping on the bed. There's an antique quilt on it, and I don't want her jumping on the bed. She's not supposed to be doing that. And so I walk up, and I'm in the standing there in the doorway, and I see her. She's facing the wall, and she's just jumping. She's five. And so I'm like, Megan, what are you doing, sweetheart? You're not supposed to be jumping on the bed. And she turns around, and she looks at me, and she said, Mama, the Lord just told me that I'm going to help the people of Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, you know, I mean, my knees got weak. I just couldn't. It was just like, because I felt the presence of God saying, this one's called to Israel. And it was just like, oh my gosh. And so, of course, her whole family and her husband is Jewish, and they lived in Israel for years. I mean, her husband's family did for probably 10 years, something like that. And so the Lord just keeps bringing us together with those that have the same heart that we do. And and everyone feels the same way. We know from the word that this is a love. He's given us a love. And it's just there because God has given us a love. So we do what we can do. And we want to bless. We want to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And God loves Israel and the Jewish people and the military. And that's why we wanted to help, because we know that they are called to protect God's chosen people. And so, of course, we're going to help them protect.
You know, the limited time that you have with your husband and the fact that you made time to come up to Jerusalem to spend 2 hours with Christy and I. You have no idea how that affect. We were so honored because we know how, and I don't want you to go into it, but we know how limited your time is with your husband and your husband with the children. And for you to invest time to come and share with us, the thing that was so important about it for us is we got to hear your story. We got to pray for your husband. We have very clear understanding of who he is and what he does. We know, and he works with some of the commanders that we know, that we've known for years and years. And so to meet him, and you know, he's over those our commanders that we know. We were so blessed to be able to pray and to get to know you and to know that our people that we know are in such good hands with your husband and with you. and caring. I mean, it was just such an important, we never said this to you, but it was so, we were so blessed. I know how precious your time is and that you came up to see us, and it really blessed us tremendously. And it helps us like with this to share, because people want authentic testimony of like what's happening. Part of our call, it allows us to have a boldness online to speak out pretty clearly to what's mm-hmm. happening in the truth. Mm-hmm. Yes, we get some resistance. Listen, it comes, I've been doing this a long time. So mm-hmm. I've had the groups that don't like you, don't like us. We have the same enemies.
Listen,
it's not the issue for me. My issue is, my job yes. is to love God, speak the truth, and let the truth set people free. I'm not attacking anyone else.
That was one of my textbook questions. It's like you're feeling you're paying a price on what you're doing. Like
we pay a big price.
Yeah.
Put it this way. Like we have to have, like, for years and years, people don't understand when they come to our church that you have to go through a metal detector.
Like in Israel.
Our church in Oklahoma, for years, it's like you're going in Israel. You got to have your bag checked. It's the same process. And everyone's like, why, you know, in America, you know, why do you have to do that? It's because of who we stand with. And a lot of it has to do, we do stand with the IDF. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're called to do. You know, Christians, a lot of times in the evangelical community, there's terms that they use, like they'll say, well, you're a spiritual general, or you're a warrior, or you're this. And they use those terms. But when they use those terms, for me, it's very different, because, like I said, after October the 7th, when we went down to the South, we were there while everything was still smoldering. We were there. I didn't let Christy go into some of the stuff, but the you know, the area was secured, but they allowed us to go in, and they allowed me particularly to go in. They said, because Kurt, we want you to know what really happened.
Yeah.
And we did. And we got to see with our own eyes and our own ears and our own noses. Listen, this is what happened. And I have friends that live down there. And so when I'm seeing some names on the mailboxes, these are families we know. And they're gone. So it was very traumatic. But I think it's something that if you're going to be a part, you have to be able to communicate correctly.
Yeah. And you've seen your own eyes. Yeah.
So when you asked earlier about us in the military.
Yeah.
We so much honor them and so much honor you as a wife, because you spoke about you when you met your husband, you knew. And that knowing came from God. That knowing inside of you that you were to be with him and you were to allow him to be in the military and not squawk about it, that because he was trusting you to carry on, because not every wife would do that. As a matter of fact, very, very few would be able to handle that. And yet the Lord chose you for him and him for you, because the Lord knew that you trusting the Lord that your husband is going to go and do what has to be done for the nation. Because if something happens with Israel, then really it's like that's the starting point of sheer craziness and chaos all over the world. That's just kind of what's happening now. And so the very fact that you can release him to go out and trust God to keep him and handle your family at home without him being there all the time, that's not like normal marriage. And yet God knew that your husband needed you and he was trusting you. So it's very much an honor that he would choose you to, you know, or not just you, but any woman to be able to do that, because your husband is a mighty man. He's a mighty man and much needed. And the world may not know that, but we know that.
Yeah, I see the spouses like of the commanders are really specific. Like they really were chosen, that they're good for the challenge, like that they act to it, because it's really not an easy life, especially those 2 years, it's crazy. Yes. But yeah, I do feel like I got strength to do that. Yes. And I'm up to the challenge, but it's not easy still.
No. And that's yeah. why we want to be able to help you and the ladies and you know, our people pray for you and they want you to have a peaceful heart and be able to sleep at night, even though he's not there. And, you know,
yeah.
Really it's the prayer of the believers that know and understand what we do and what we're doing with you guys. There's a lot of prayer going up for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I think one of the deeper lessons of this podcast is particularly with your older son and the younger ones. You take them to the base and you allow them to see, and I know exactly what you're saying because I've been there, allowing them to see how the men interact with your husband and their dad and the respect and the honor. But how did you convey, because we have the same message, how do we convey to the world the bigger picture of the importance that, now listen, we know the scripture says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. We know that God is going to protect Israel and Israel is not going to cease and desist. We understand that. But at the same time, how do we convey to, like you've done with your children, how do I convey to my children, which are tens of thousands on air, that the importance of the difference, let's say, between the battle that's happening in the Middle East versus the battle that's happening maybe someplace else. This, I mean, in my opinion, President Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, with what they've done in Iran, have saved not just Israel, but the world from a catastrophe that yes. is unexplainable how big it could have been. We're never going to know. Praise God, we're not going to know. Right. But to be honest with you, if it wasn't what started in Gaza, if what Hamas started in Gaza, actually what it did is it revealed the real intention of mm-hmm. the bigger picture.
Yes.
Even though it was smaller and horrible, it could have been a lot worse. And then what happened with Hezbollah in the north and then the Houthis, what's happened is all of this, it was like, it was always there, right. but now it's like being it got revealed. Exposed
yes.
and because of that exposure that allowed empowered President Trump to be able to do what he did, removing those nuclear facilities. And so how do you convey as well as you've done to your children that daddy's involved in something in a much bigger scale? How would you give me advice to my audience? How do we convey mm-hmm. this is much bigger than just even what's happening with the Iranians?
It's a big question. I'm too little, I think, to answer that big questions, but I think if you believe in the purpose, it's much easier to be connected. I think the purpose of the well-being of Israel and the Jewish people, and when we lived in Canada for a year, and the Jewish people in Canada told also my kids that their dad is fighting also for them, not just for themselves. So I think if you're understanding that you are a part of a bigger picture, of a bigger story, it's much easier to believe and to take that part. And it's much easier to see what you gain, like I told you, and just not what you lose. Because it's much easier to see, to say, okay, like my kids, my dad is not home. That's terrible. I hate the army. It's much, much easier to be in that space and take that path. But I really believe that if you see the whole picture, like you really, like you said, you live through it and you really understand what you're going through, it's much easier to see what you gain and not what you lose. Is that clear?
Very, very, very clear.
Yes.
And thank you. With your husband gone so much, how do you keep like him engaged in the family? You know, you were sharing with us when, which I thought was really awesome, is that when the kids ask if they can do something, how share with you how you do that, how you include him, even though he's gone.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important to that he will stay home even if he's not home every day. Like if the kids are asking me to go somewhere or to do something or to pay for something, I'm always telling them I need to ask dad. Like he's part of this family, even he's not now here at home. His decision counts and are important, and he needs to be a part of them. Even he's now in the battlefield or never like everywhere, he needs to be a part of it. And also, like it now, they got their report card. Like it was the day, last day of school. I immediately send it to him. Even he won't see it now, today or tomorrow, that they know he's a part of it. He sees what they worked all that year. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really important to give his impact home, even he's not all day long home.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
That's honoring his position, yes, as a father honoring of the family.
Yeah, and they know that. And they even sometimes I'm telling them, don't ask me, ask your dad. Now he can't communicate as usual, but really like I'm referring them, go to ask him. Even he's not home, you can call him and you can ask him because what he says matter.
Yes.
So how often do you get to speak to him on average on the phone?
Well, now it's not out much, like... We don't like speak. We speak like once, twice a week, but we like trying to WhatsApp. So at least once a day, I get like a hi, but not a lot at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy time.
Yeah. Very difficult. So you had one other question for us.
Yeah. One last question. Okay. So I wanted to ask, how do you view the relationship between Christian and Jews today? And are we seeing a progress, or what are the challenges in that issue?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been doing this 36 years, and there's always been kind of an increase inside the Christian evangelical community, a building and a closeness of the relationship. We've watched it, but in really since October the 7th, and there's so much pro-Palestinian propaganda coming from the universities and from the legacy media. It's really having an effect even inside the Christian community and the evangelical community. To the ones, I have to say this, but there's some in the Christian community that have a theology that the church replaced Israel. And those that have that theology are easily swayed into an anti-Semitic, anti-Israel posture and position. So you have, we are battling right now, and if you guys would pray for us, the battle for our ministry is to communicate that not only is that false theologically and doctrinally, but it's also not accurate. The history is not accurate. So, but that movement is extremely well funded by the extreme left and what we would call the legacy fake, we call fake news or whatever you want to call it. But I don't want to use names. I don't want this to, but there's different media that is very anti-Israel, but they're also anti-American, and they're anti-constitutional America. Mm-hmm. And so they're anti-people like me. So yeah, our battle has increased tremendously since October the 7th. And you know, Christy and I are at our age, we're over 70, and we're at a place where you would think for us that we would be slowing down. We're actually increasing our work because the need is so great to tell the truth. We made a commitment to the Lord in the early 90s in a visitation of God just across the street in Tel Aviv from the Dan Panorama Hotel that we would be a voice. And so it's actually, we've always been a voice, but the next 10 years of being a voice is probably more important for us to educate the evangelical community against what we call false theological doctrinal misinterpretation of the Bible, that somehow the church has replaced Israel. That comes from the Constantine period. It is a evil theological doctrine. But when people have that, then they easily can buy into the anti-Zionism, anti-Christian, anti-Semitic propaganda.
Okay. Yeah, it's an important path to go through.
Yeah. So that's where we need the cooperation. And because what we call true believers, if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, you're a born again, spirit-filled believer, then you're going to believe that Israel and Christians are one new man. Yeah. That's what you believe. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the truth. Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. And the devil, Hasatan, knows that if he wants to bring division and remove the blessing from the church is to get Christians to curse Israel. And then he gets to influence them and steal their blessings that they would receive from Abraham.
Yeah. Okay. So before we close, I wanted to offer a personal thank you, not just as an interviewer or whatever, but as the wife of an Israeli combat officer. During such a challenging time here in Israel, the support coming from your community through prayer, love, and deep community to our people is truly moving. It means so much to know that there are people around the world lifting us up, standing by us, grounded in faith and shared purpose. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. So thank you so much.
You are so welcomed. And give our love to your husband, Tamir. Yeah. And please let him know that we are praying. Mm-hmm. And whatever we can do, we will continue to do it with a fervency of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Amen. Amen. So thank you. And when you're here again in Israel, I will be happy to meet you again. And I'll invite you here to our meet the kids.
That would be fabulous.
That would be awesome.
You'll see the real power.
Yes.
Well, anyway, we want to thank you for joining the Kurt Landry podcast. This has been a unique time. I hope this has opened your eyes, most of all, your heart, to see the reality of the truth of what a mother of a commander is doing in Israel with her children and the challenges that she faced. So I want to thank you for praying for not just Michal and her family, but all the soldiers and all the people in Israel as they go through these trying times. Remember what the word says. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May they have peace within their palaces. And may we say for our brethren's sake, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. This podcast has blessed you. Please hit the share button. And if you really want to help and be a part of the ministry, fighting the propaganda machine, subscribe. If you will subscribe to our YouTube network, that gives us so much help in creating those numbers so that we can bring good, clear podcasts and media broadcasts like this. Thank you so much for your support, your prayers, and your monthly commitments that for those of you who stand with us. We bless you and honor you. Please share this podcast with friends. Let's spread the truth and the good news.